this episode of The Commercial Break.
Beavers that can be destructive to human projects, right? Like my dad's boat dock.
Right. I was going to say, like, we're the ones that have kind of encroached on their homes.
Yeah. Somebody said it. Now for the beaver segment. Right. Exactly. There's no easy transition into the beaver segment. I just got to talk about it. But beavers are important. So we're asking you to take a moment and think about the beaver. We're not paid by any beavers to make this statement, by the way.
No, but I do have to say, I went up to the mountains last fall. And at night, the beavers were out there doing their thing, splashing around, making their little homes and stuff. And yeah. I really enjoyed it.
Chrissy loves the beavers.
I do.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
2:30 in the morning!
Oh, yeah, cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is my dear friend and the co-host of this show, Kristen Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Kristen.
Best to you, Brian.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. How the hell are you? Thanks for joining us. I sound a little weird. Do I sound a little weird on the microphone today? No? Okay. Maybe it's just me getting used to my voice again.
It is.
Yeah. We're going to have to get used to this choppy, changey schedule.
It is.
My hair is choppy, changey. Have you ever seen the... God damn it, what's the name of that show?
Which?
It's an Irish show. It's Iman and, you've never seen it. You've never seen it. It's an Irish comedy show, and it is the most ridiculous, insane show about a couple in the 1980s in Ireland. And hold
is
on.
Is the show from the 1980s or it,
no,
it's current?
It's current.
But it's
current, like 2012 or something. Motherfucker. God damn it. I wish. Why am I bad at this? Why am I so bad at this?
Because
why can't my brain work?
A million things to think about.
I do have a million things to think about. That's goddamn right about that, Chrissy. And been in New York for the last couple of days.
Yes, you have.
Which has been exciting. I'll be up there probably more often than I would like to admit. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'll find the name of the show and I'll give it to you. It's one of the funniest fucking shows I've ever seen in my entire life.
Where do you watch it? On your BritBox?
Yeah, my BritBox.
Yeah, I don't have that.
Yeah, it's on Amazon Prime. And man, is it the funniest. It's wild. It is a wild, insane show. And I found it, you know, like I find all these shows.
Yep.
It just like popped up somewhere on deep in my search engine on Prime. And I was like, oh, okay, let me watch that. And these two are just, they're constantly smoking cigarettes and trying to assault each other. It's the funniest fucking show. And
Prime
she's always
does do
saying
a good job with popping up stuff that you like to watch.
Yes.
Yeah.
It does. It knows mm-hmm. my taste, yep. which is the dumbest television shows you've ever seen. Give that to Brian.
Serve that to him.
The shows nobody else watches. Apparently, it was very popular in Ireland.
Yeah.
This show was very popular. It's a Channel 4 show where I first saw Dating Naked or...
Right.
Whatever that show
is.
In the Nude.
Yeah. What was the name of that show?
But that was wild.
That show is so crazy.
I think we almost sent Christina into a... yes. Into court to sue
right.
us.
Because they show it all.
They do.
And the host, that woman, I mean, she's hilarious.
Bridget and Iman.
Bridget and Iman is the name of the show.
Bridget, yes. And Iman. Bridget and Iman is the name of the show. You can find it on Prime. It's got four seasons. It is.
Well, four seasons says a lot.
It does say a lot.
Yeah.
Because if you get a British show or a show on one of those channels over there in the UK... and it lasts more than two seasons, you're really doing something really good mm-hmm. because they have like a strict rule. Nothing after four seasons, unless it's like the absolutely best. They do have shows that last like 12, 15, 20 seasons, but they're either those mega soap operas that have been going on
yes.
for years. Like I forget what one of them is called, like, you know, the West Side or something like that. And it's been going on for years. It's a soap opera. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Or
Perot.
Perot, that's right.
Yeah.
The shows that your dad watches.
Uh-huh.
The shows that your mom watches claim she understands that she doesn't really understand. Bridget Nieman, watch that show. I promise you, you're going to have to put subtitles on because that Irish accent is thick.
Okay.
But I promise
I'll
you,
look for it.
You're going to go, what the fuck is going on in this show? And she's always saying, do you like my hair? It's choppy changey.
And that's it.
Choppy changey. Yeah, choppy changey. So I'm spending time in New York, and that's why the inconsistent choppy changey. nature of the stream.
Yeah, you're working on a new project.
Yes, working on a new project. Mm-hmm. We'll get more into that later on down the road, but that doesn't mean anything for here. Doesn't mean we stop doing the commercial break. It just means the schedule is going to be a little up in the air from week to week. But I went to New York, and wow, New York is just a different place. It's just a different place.
Mm-hmm. And I love New York.
I do too.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. You know, I don't think I'd necessarily like, I don't think it'd be my first choice of places to live
right.
with children. If I was back in my 20s or early 30s.
Well, that's the time to go.
That's the time
to
go. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And if you want to live anywhere in the city, you better be a millionaire because there's nothing
affordable.
Yeah. And so the place where I'm working is in Soho, mm-hmm. which is
fancy.
That's all you got to say. It is a premier address and a premier location, and it's right next to, you know, like the New York Fashion Institute, all this stuff. So it's
all
just young, beautiful people running around, and then Brian
with tons of money.
Yeah, with tons of money, and then Brian. Well, I don't think they all have tons of money. I think they come to Soho for the day and then they leave at night. Do you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
The best time in Soho, I've learned in my short time there, the best time in Soho is like 7:30 in the morning because there's very few people on the street. There's a crispness to the air. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. You can see it kind of unmolested from all of these human beings, this like sea of human beings that's constantly around you. It's very lovely, very lovely. And, you know,
spring in New York is beautiful.
Gorgeous. Mm-hmm. I love it. But it's a wild place. In the course of 48 hours, I saw the following. You ready for this? I mean, I see it. You see a lot of stuff in New York, and some stuff you just have to turn your head and just go, I don't know what the fuck is going on there. But I'm standing on the street taking a phone call, and they have bike lanes everywhere. Mm-hmm. A lot of bikers in New York. I don't know how they do it. I don't know why they do it. Yeah, fast. And they have those city bikes, the rent-a-bikes, the city rent-a-bikes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That every fucking moron and their mother is on. You know what I'm saying? They think, oh, I'll see the city by bike. Yeah, that's great, except you have to see the city by bike and deal with New York drivers who don't care. They don't have any, there is no rules. It's like driving in Mexico City. There are no stop signs. There are no stoplights. There is no green, no yellow, or no red. You look out. Your head is on a fucking swivel. And having driven there now, I can tell you that those people are, I mean, Atlanta is good proving grounds for driving in New York because we drive the same here in Atlanta.
Yeah, it's no holds barred.
Wow, is it wild down in the middle of that city. So I'm standing there on a side street, not one of the major thoroughfares, side street, one-way street. I'm standing there, bike lane. I'm standing on the sidewalk on the side of the bike lane, on the right-hand side of the street. And I'm just talking on the phone. And all of a sudden, I hear, bam! And I can hear this guy go, ah! Boom, thud, on the ground. I swivel around really quickly. And a guy who was on a city bike just had driven by me at like 20 miles per hour was on the ground, bloodied. And there was like a cab door that was like half open and crumpled. I mean, the guy hit the cab door so hard, it caused major damage to the door. So moron meet moron.
Yeah.
Moron riding down the bike lane meets moron opening the door in a cab. And then you get into a cab in New York, they have videos playing, you know, on the back of the seat.
I've seen that.
The video says, twist and turn to save a life. It's like a campaign. They keep running in these. And I must have heard it 30 times in an hour to JFK, right? And it was showing you how to twist and turn and look before you open the door. Why? Because exactly why. What I saw is some guy just went straight into the fucking door on a bike. And I don't know because I didn't see it. But he was a good 15 feet from the door on the ground. He must have flown the air. Yeah. So there's a bunch of people rush over.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I called 911. Even the people at the dispatch have a New York attitude. Slow down. I'm like, this guy just, you know, I'm trying to be as calm as I can, right? And I'm like, yeah, I'm here on this street and that street.
I'm sure your adrenaline's going. You just saw that happen. God.
Yeah. And I'm like, listen, he's bloody, but he's alert and awake. Slow down. Let me get the information before you keep going. And I'm like, okay, asshole. I'm trying to tell you the guy's okay.
Yeah, we need
you don't have to
ambulance.
Send the fucking coroner, okay? That's what I'm trying to get him.
Right.
You know, and it was, but anyway, so one.
Okay.
24 hours later, or no, same day. Excuse me. Same day. Later on that evening, I'm in a cab. I'm on my way to JFK. We're on whatever fucking turnpike is the seventh level of hell in New York at 5:30 at night. It took me 2 hours to get to the airport. Two fucking hours from Soho to JFK. That, by the way, that's like 17 miles. It's not It's not on the other side of Earth. It's 17 miles, but the traffic is so bad. I could have walked there in less time. I was so frustrated. I almost missed my flight. Anyway.
Same flight that was delayed.
The same flight that was delayed for 2 hours. Yeah. I was sitting on the tarmac.
God, that's the worst.
Next to a guy who was like this on the seat.
Just sprawled out.
There should be a fucking rule about sitting in the middle seat. I understand you're going to need your elbows there. Yeah. I get it. When you're on the aisle, you can go like this. When you're on the window,
that's
you
the
can
etiquette.
Go like this.
Yes,
but you don't put your hands like this.
No, you don't go. You don't cross.
No, you don't cross the line of demarcation.
Yes.
He had his hand like on my thigh. And I'm like, dude.
Yeah.
Honestly. And he's like watching these weird like African preachers on his YouTube. Like I think the guy was from Africa, real Africa. And he was watching weird African preachers, you know, the kind that are like, pray the gay away. You know?
Yeah.
They lick the anus.
Oh, I know. It's,
have you
it's
seen
funny.
Those guys?
No, I haven't seen that, but it's funny to see what other people are watching on a plane.
Yeah. They lick the poo-poo. They lick the poo-poo. They lick the anus. Homosexuals. You know, they're like super weird about that shit. And he was watching one of these guys, but not with his earphones in, with his earphones out.
No,
and I have my earphones in, and I'm like, this is fucking obnoxious. Like,
great.
I didn't even understand what the guy was saying, but I could already tell I was not into it. Whatever he was preaching, I was not into it. And the guy's like this, like just hanging his arms on my thigh. I'm like, dude, I don't know about where you come from, but where we come from, we hate touching other people. Just put your hands here.
Yes, no, that's a no-no.
So I'm on my way to the airport. We're sitting in this terrible traffic. It's going nowhere fast. And on one side, and on the other side, you know, vroom, 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 vroom. And there is as we're on the other side of the median, there is two highways dividing. And you know, two highways divide, they put that big metal thing in the middle, you know, there's a fork in the road, right? And then the traffic safety people put a big metal thing there with these big water-filled canisters or foam-filled canisters in case you should hit it. Assuming that you hit it, it's a softer landing. Mm-hmm. Still not going to be pleasant, but it's a softer landing. At least you don't hit the concrete wall. I am sitting there listening to the Twist and Turn video, and I am watching all the cars drive by, wondering why we're not on that side of the street.
Right.
And I watch a old Ford Celica or something just go directly in the middle. Just it was as if he was in a lane, and he thought
that was the lane.
He took no pause, no pause whatsoever. He just ran right into that metal thing, square in the middle of his car. Airbag deploys. You know, I watched the whole thing happen. The guy's, you know, in the air. His car is crumpled. His engine is crumpled. You can see his engine.
The hood
is way up. The windshield's crashed out. It's just a mess. And me and the taxi driver are like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Or the Uber driver are like, oh, shit. You know, hope that guy's okay. Oh, my God. And as we're crawling up, because we're going inch by inch, as we're crawling up, we watch as the airbag deflates and the guy's got his window down. Airbag deflates and the guy's got this long, like, wavy hair. And he's like doing this with his hair. And he's waving out the window like this.
What?
Like waving out the window like this.
Like he's okay?
I think. Yeah. I think I'm okay. Backs the car up.
What?
And drives back onto the highway.
No.
He drove back onto the highway. It was wild. Me and this Uber driver.
Oh, my God.
Well, I'm pretty sure English wasn't his first language. He was like Russian or something. We were just like, wow. Wow.
He just pulled away.
Yeah. He goes, and this is the only words that he said to me that I could understand the entire ride. There wasn't a lot of talking. He goes, New York is wild. I was like, fucking A right, dude. That is crazy. That guy just got into a major car accident. There's no way he walked away from that unscathed. He broke a leg or something. I'm sure of it.
Yeah.
The metal thing went right into the engine of the car. I mean, you could see the fucking engine. And the hood was all the way up here. Like,
he
couldn't
even
believe
he could drive.
He backed up and drove away. Sure. Why not? Don't call the ambulance or whatever. The problem is, I think the challenge is, you know, Atlanta is the weed capital of the world.
Mm-hmm.
I have been to so many states where weed is legal. Las Vegas, California, Colorado, you know, New Jersey. I've been to all of these states where all this shit is legal. Washington, where weed is legal. And there has never been a more strong and potent smell of weed than in the city of Atlanta, uh-huh. Chrissy. And I have said this a million times. It is a shit you not statement. I do not exaggerate one inch.
No, I completely agree with you. I'll smell it and I'm not even like, where...
Where am I?
I'm driving.
I was at the Kroger today, and I'm walking out of the parking lot, the Home Depot, and I'm walking out into the parking lot. There is not a soul in sight,
and
a car's driving way over there, yes. And all this. Jesus, someone's toking. I'm taking a run by the river. Yeah. It's weed the entire time. I don't even see anybody else.
I know, that's the thing. You don't see anybody.
Yeah, where are they? This is like little hidden
weed
gnomes that are just like smoking. You know, Disney has those like smell-o-laters?
Yes.
They put the smell of popcorn in the air and cake and butter or whatever to make you hungry and, you know, to feel good. They must have smell-o-laters in Atlanta that just put weed smell into the air. I can be driving 80 miles per hour down I-80 up I-85 north to North Carolina, yep. And I will tell you right now that it smells like weed. Why? Because someone 6 miles ahead of me is just like ripping a bong while they're driving down the highway.
So true.
And first of all, second of all, with all the ways to consume weed, you'd think that smoking would be the less fashionable way to do it. But
not in Atlanta.
Not in Atlanta and not in New York. It's all over. People smoking joints on the street. I don't even think that is really legal. I don't think you're supposed to be smoking on the street. But I saw it a number of times. I think people just don't
give
a shit.
Nobody's enforcing it.
Give a shit. No one's enforcing. I also didn't see a lot of police officers, but I guess Soho is not the place where they're going to be hanging out all that much. But I love where we're at. I love the vibe,
the energy.
And the energy.
Yeah, yeah.
It feels good. And I realize I'm in a bit of a gilded bubble in Soho, but I'll take it.
Run with it.
Why not? I'm not looking to argue with anybody about being in Soho. There are worse places to be in New York.
Oh, for sure.
You could be in the financial district where it's all kind of, you know, yuppies and stuff like that. At least I'm in like a bohemian.
Yeah, you are.
Very rich bohemian.
Bohemian chic.
Yeah, they have every fucking expensive piece of clothing in the world is sold within a mile of where I am. Those stores. I was like, you know, I need a couple of shirts. Let me pop into this place. And I forgot what it was. I don't even know what it was. Stussy or something like that.
Okay, yeah.
It was Stussy. And I go and I open the door and I walk in and there's a guy standing there with one of those earpieces, right? You know, but they do that at the fucking
security.
American Eagle. You know, it's not that big of a deal. And then there's a lady standing there with a clipboard. And so I walk in and she goes, name? And I go, oh, hi, I'm Brian. And she goes, and last name? And I go, Green? And she goes, not on the list.
What?
And I go, and she goes, did you stand in the line? And I go, no, I just walked in. And she goes, there's a line, unless you have the invitation.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, okay. All right, cool. I like Stussy. I bought some of their clothing when I was a teenager, right? I thought maybe I'd get a cool t-shirt or something like that.
Yeah.
The Stussy. And so then
did you see the line?
I didn't see the line.
Okay.
But not until the big guy, you know, he said, you gotta go stand out there, man. And I was like, oh, okay. And I opened up the door, and I opened up the door coming from the left. And if I looked at the right, there was a line of about 30 people. And it was like a velvet rope. And I was like, wow, that's
crazy.
Okay,
they were having a little event there.
It wasn't an event, because then every day that I passed by the Stussy, or every time I passed by the Stussy.
You had to be invited to even shop there?
You had to be invited to shop there.
Wow.
Or you had to wait in line to shop there, I assume. Maybe that was their spring collection or whatever. Mm. I'm not really sure. So I thought, okay. Then I went to a different store, which was like, I don't even know what it was. An American Eagle. I don't know what the fuck it was. It was a something. And I walk in there. I was on a phone call. I walk in there seeing if I could find a shirt that something new, fresh to wear.
Right.
And
yeah,
I'm looking at those prices and I'm like, Jesus. Fucking got to pay for this rent somehow, I guess.
Yeah, that's true.
$700 for a shirt.
I'm
going to pay $700 for a shirt. I'll go to TJ Maxx.
Exactly.
But, you know, it's a lovely place to be. It really is. And I am enjoying my time there. And thank God, because I will be spending a lot of time there.
You will.
So I'm glad it's, you know, not like, I don't know, what's a city that I probably would drive me crazy if I had to be there every day?
Uh-huh. Like a city, like a big city?
Like a big city.
Mm.
Downtown Miami, I think I would probably go a little nutty, because I'd want to be on South Beach or something like that, right?
Yeah.
But that's not where the
Maybe
offices
something like
are.
Like Houston.
Houston for sure.
Yeah.
Dallas for sure.
Right.
Houston or Dallas. No knocking on Houston and Dallas.
No.
I know you've got your spots.
But if you had to go there every other week.
If I had to go there every other week, it'd drive me fucking crazy. I've been there a lot. We have family that lives there. Gustavo lives there. Gustavo lives in Houston.
Yeah.
And where we go, where Gustavo is, lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Where we go, where we have other family in Houston, lovely. Downtown Houston, big, sprawling nothing of a metropolis. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say there aren't cool places. Of course there are. I've been to lots of cool places there. There are. It's got a vibe. But that downtown area is just like, it's never ending. It goes on forever. That's also another place where you get stuck in traffic and it's like 7 hours of fucking traffic.
Yeah.
Yeah. There, Houston. I think Phoenix probably might drive me a little crazy if I had to spend all my time there. It's beautiful out there too.
Yeah. I haven't been to Phoenix, I don't think.
117 degrees is like December 20th. It's like Christmas weather when it's 117. When your balls are boiling with shorts on, it's like 100. It's 100 degrees outside. Yeah. But so there are worse places to be, and I do enjoy the time. And if you're going to be doing what I'm doing, it kind of is the epicenter for what it is. Mm-hmm. The good news is when I go up there, you can make a meeting, and it's likely the person that you're meeting is going to also be in town, so you can go up there and do that. So look at me. I'm a big New York boy.
Yeah, you are. Look at you.
Big New York boy now. My coffee, Lance, my Starbucks boyfriend.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he would text me.
Did you catch up with him?
Yeah, I did. He's like, you know, hey, man, can you meet me up? I said, yeah, I'm running a few minutes late. I'm working on a project. And he goes, oh, big New York boy, big New York projects. Fuck you.
I love it. He's giving you shit.
Yeah, he likes to bust my balls. That's what good friends do. We bust each other's balls.
That's true.
All right, well, it's good to
be. We did a whole segment about that one time, I think, about busting balls and how that's the sign of a great friendship.
That is the sign of a great friendship. The sign of a great friendship that's going to last for eternity is someone's ability to call you on your bullshit and tell, and you have to take it, because even though they are clearly hurting your sensitive little feelings, there is some truth to what they're saying, and you have to recognize. Raphael does this to me all the time, the time, to the point where it actually like does hurt my feelings. Like, I think he's being mean to me on purpose. But there's but it's being mean on purpose, but being mean with a purpose also. You know, that's the sign of a sign of a great friendship is the ability to reflect on how miserable the other person is and say it out loud. All right, let's do this. Let's take a break, and when we get back, we'll talk Earth Day, because it's not Earth Day, but tomorrow's Earth Day, and so we'll talk about Earth Day.
When this is running, it'll be Earth Day.
Yes, and the eager beavers.
Yes, those little beavers.
Those little beavers, and how they are ruining everybody's lives, but they're really important to our lives also. All right, they're like the bees of dam building, I guess. I don't know.
We'll tell you
the bees
you all about
of
it.
The river. We'll tell you all about it. We're going to do our homework over the break, and then we'll tell you all about it. All right, we'll be back.
Hey, it's Rachel, your new voice of God here on TCB. And just like you, I'm wondering just how much longer this podcast can continue. Let's all rejoice that another episode has made it to your ears, and I'll rejoice that my check is in the mail. Speaking of mail, get your free TCB sticker in the mail by going to tcbpodcast.com and visiting the Contact Us page. You can also find the entire commercial break library, audio and video, just in case you want to look at Chrissy, at tcbpodcast.com. Want your voice to be on an episode of the show? Leave us a message at 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Tell us how much you love us, and we'll be sure to let the world know on a future episode. Or you could make fun of us. That'd be fine, too. We might not air that, but maybe. Oh, and if you're shy, that's okay. Just send a text. We'll respond. Now I'm going to go check the mailbox for payment while you check out our sponsors, and then we'll return to this episode of the commercial break.
I saw you in then the VIP, bottle service in Hennessy. My heart went crazy, it skipped a beat. I thought that you could be with me. I walk over to you, we lock eyes. You're my wife and I realize you're with my friend and it's no surprise. Watching you two makes my flag rise. I have a cut crush on you. I have a cut crush on you. I hide in the closet, let you do what you do. I have a cut crush on you. So baby, grab your phone, start to swipe. We need to spend some time getting it right. I don't want you to be alone tonight. I want you to cheat without a fight. When you're in the bed with my favorite guy, I hide myself and try not cry. I love you, lady, but I won't lie. My therapist even wonders why. I have a cut crush on you. I have a cut crush on you. I hide in the closet, let you do what you do. I have a cut crush on you. Ooh, let's paint the town. I'll stay in the corner and watch it all go down. I promise not to make a sound while you and neighbor ground and pound. It's so lovely to be your man. I can't do what the other guys can, but when you're happy, I feel grand. He can be your lion, I'll be your lamb. I have a cut crush on you. I have a cut crush on you. I hide in the closet, let you do what you do. I have a cut crush on you. I have a cut crush on you. I hide in the closet, let you do what you do. I have a cut crush on you.
I love it, we have to get screwed.
Saxophone solo. Oh, nothing beats a saxophone solo.
Oh, God. I used to love Kenny G.
I'm so in love with that song. I used to play the saxophone.
Yes,
the
you did.
Sexophone, if you don't mind.
Yes.
Speaking of cuck on you. And hey, everybody in this stream, we just figured out how to make our chat work.
Yeah.
And hey, Sean. Hi, everybody. Thank you very much for joining us. I am watching something called God Forbid on Hulu.
The
Jerry Falwell story about how... Do you remember this story?
Yes, it came out a few years ago, right?
Jerry and whatever his wife's name is, I can't remember.
Right, they had the
Jerry
pool
and
guy.
Jerry. Yeah, they had the pool guy, mm-hmm. The pool guy from The Fountain Blue.
Yes.
He got invited upstairs yes. to screw Jerry Falwell's wife while he watched and whacked off in the corner. But yep. That's only the beginning of the story. It gets so fucking wild. They bought him commercial real estate.
Oh, yeah.
They took mm-hmm. videos of the guy. They had him, like, under their thumb, like, doing this whole song and dance around Liberty University. And it was just insane.
Did that place close after all that?
It should have closed.
I know.
I mean, honestly, like... Yeah, I mean, and listen, to be a little fair to Jerry Falwell and his wife, nothing wrong with your proclivities.
No.
You want to do that? Cool. And this guy was willing. His name is Giancarlo. Giancarlo was completely willing.
Giancarlo.
But he was 20 years old. 20 yeah. years old. And she was like 43 years old when this happened. And they took advantage of his naivete, his youth, his everything.
Well, plus, the whole thing was you can't, like, do what you want to do, but also don't stand up there like you're this moral high ground.
Correctamundo.
Yes.
Yeah. The part that is the craziest is that the whole shtick for Liberty University was projecting
yes.
power and moral authority. And they got in bed with Donald Trump early, but mm-hmm. the reasons why they got in bed with Donald Trump early have to do with getting in bed with Giancarlo.
Really?
It is wild how these two worlds intersect.
Oh my God.
You gotta watch this.
Okay, I will be watching this.
I heard the story. Hulu. I heard the story, and when it came out, and I was like, oh, she fucked the pool boy.
I read a whole article about it, yeah.
This is based on that series of articles mm-hmm. that then became a book, and it is the story. This goes on for years.
Yeah.
Years in and out of his life, buying him commercial real estate, you know, putting his name on other pieces of real estate up near Liberty University.
Wild.
Donald Trump enters the picture. Michael Cohen mm-hmm. enters the picture. The attorney, Michael Cohen, uses a lawsuit that was filed. What happened was... I'll tell you just a little bit, and then you can go watch the movie because it really unfolds very, very, very well. This is a great documentary. I'm loving it. I didn't watch the last 20 minutes, but I watched most of it. The guy starts taking videos, Jerry Falwell, uh-huh. of all of this. It's videotaped the entire time, but Giancarlo does not know until years later that there are videotapes.
Oh,
when
he didn't
she
know?
Starts sending him pictures
oh,
of screen
right.
grabs.
That's
okay?
Right.
All right. So that's that. Somehow, some way. A couple of business partners of Giancarlo's, like two wannabe real estate uh-huh. moguls down in Miami, who helped him buy this hotel that Jerry Falwell paid for, they decide they're going to blackmail him by suing him for the hotel, saying that he promised them 50% of the hotel. He never did that.
Giancarlo?
But Giancarlo.
Okay.
These two wannabe real estate ass clowns.
They turn on him.
They turn on him mm-hmm. years after he bought the hotel. But it's really not about the hotel. It's a front for a blackmail because they have the pictures that were sent to him on his phone. How? Nobody knows. That's what private investigators do all the time. These,
true.
You want it, they'll find it. Hackers, mm-hmm. all this other shit. So what happens? They sue him. Jerry Falwell quickly comes in because it's all going to come out.
Uh-huh.
Jerry Falwell comes in, offers these guys a bunch of money, the hotel, the whole nine yards. They say, nope, we want more. They get greedy. And guess what? Guess who steps in to fix it?
Cohen?
Michael Cohen.
Oh, my God.
But now Michael Cohen
has the pictures.
Yes.
Guess who needs an endorsement in 2016 from the evangelicals? Mm-hmm. Guess who needs an endorsement?
Oh, yeah,
Donald
Trump.
Mm-hmm. Guess who? Guess who's the first evangelical Christian to the most powerful one?
Prominent
to endorse Donald Trump when honestly his campaign was a joke. Mm-hmm. No one believed he was going to be president. Remember 2015?
Oh, yeah.
Everyone was like, whatever.
But, yeah.
But then Jerry Falwell got involved, and all of a sudden, all these evangelical Christians are like, this is the second coming of Christ right here. It is fucking wild. All because of a little cuck, cuck, cuck on you.
Mm.
That's it. That's what it started with. A little, we want to have some fun, you know, take it. It's a little weird, but whatever. And Giancarlo is in this movie. He tells his own story.
Oh, he's in there too.
He's in the movie. He tells his own story. And to be honest with you, I like the guy. I think he's telling the truth. And I think that it really became this house of cards that had been built lie after lie after lie. The only person that knew was his sister. He was being honest with his sister. And his parents were big fans of Jerry Falwell. So the Falwells would invite this guy. They invited this guy to their children's weddings, and the mom would disappear for hours with Giancarlo, and Jerry Falwell was like, make sure you videotape it, while he distracted the children, and they had t-shirts made one afternoon when they all went to go to this location for the wedding, you know, this jet-setting location for the wedding. The mom was gone so much, someone went to the print shop, made t-shirt, where's mom?
Oh, my God.
Mom was fucking the pool boy, but no one knew except for Jerry.
Oh, wow,
it's wild!
Oh my God, I can't wait to watch it. I love
wild.
Stuff like that.
This is scandalous. I don't think Jerry Falwell and his wife are like the worst human beings on earth. I think they also got caught in a really shitty series of lies. But you can't go on stage Mm-mm. with all these powerful people, and if you go to Liberty University and you get caught saying a swear word, they fine you money.
Yeah, they were really strict.
You get caught with alcohol, you can be kicked off campus.
Mm-hmm.
And God forbid, drugs or sex. That's just a whole different animal altogether. I mean, it is wild how hypocrisy is just the rue of the day. And I'm not saying I can be hypocritical sometimes too, but but that's my job. I'm on the commercial fucking break. Wait, I'm not running Liberty University.
Yes.
God damn it.
No, exactly.
Fuck, man.
God.
Jesus. I real quick before we talk about the Beavers, I just want to say this while we're bouncing on the subject of Donald Trump. Did you hear this wild story? I don't know if it's true. It has not come out in any mainstream news. It's only been on Twitter and other places. So take this for what it's worth. And the guy who is saying this is also known to be kind of Russian friendly. So this may be compromise. If you will, this may be misinformation, but I heard this story and then I'm hearing it again from other sources that seem a little bit more reputable. And so where it started is not reputable. Now there are other people that are digging into the story that Donald Trump walked into the Situation Room last Saturday and asked for the nuclear codes so that he could decide whether or not he wanted to nuke Iran.
What?
And that the general, Mad Dog Kane, whatever his name, Mad Dog Mattis, whatever his name is, whatever that guy's name is.
Mad Dog.
That he was like, no, I'm inserting authority here and I'm saying no, not even an option.
Yeah.
And it was like a little bit of an argument. And then, you know.
Thank God for Mad Dog.
Thank God for Mad Dog. If that's his real name. Yeah, I don't even know. It's such a revolving door.
Well, it seems like he only has yes people around him. So I'm surprised anybody actually asserted
himself.
Now,
again, take that with a grain of salt. Yeah. I'm not here to spread misinformation. I've just been reading the story from multiple different places. Mm-hmm. And I think if there isn't truth to it, what we do know there is truth to is he was kept out of the Situation Room because people were worried about him. So his aides were keeping him out of the Situation Room hour by hour as those pilots were rescued. And thank God they were
as those pilots were
rescued. It's wild. It's wild.
It's very wild.
This is a wild time to be alive.
Oh my God.
Wild time to be alive. And then the labor secretary, she's also out there cuck, cuck, cucking.
Yes.
She's cuck, cuck, cucking and her husband is hitting on like the interns and the wife is
resigned.
Like, yeah, she just resigned. The husband and her father were in the office, like hitting on the interns, texting them, where are you? Where are you staying? I love you. You're the best. You're so sexy. He was texting all this stuff. And when they complained to her, she was like, yeah, you better pay attention to the men. The men are important. Pay attention to them. It's her fucking husband.
God.
Fucking wild.
Oh my God.
What is going on?
I don't know. We're in an upside down world.
I can't take it anymore.
Yeah.
It's all palace intrigue. It's all palace intrigue. We got a bunch of boneheads running to, you know, leading a bunch of other boneheads. Mm-hmm. All right. The beavers. Let's talk about the beavers. Speaking of beaver, let's talk about beavers.
Yes. In honor of Earth Day.
And on honor of Earth Day, we Chrissy and I wanted to share with you that beavers are important. I don't even know where to go with this. We have a friend
yes.
who's very into beavers, and she's a friend of the show's. And so we did a little research on the beavers so that we could talk about this on Earth Day. Let's touch on it. All right. Beavers are important, and they have been hunted almost to extinction. There are less than 100,000 of them left in the wild.
Yeah, nature's kind of like its own little infrastructure.
Yeah.
Right.
These dams that they build help spread out floodplains. They help redirect debris from flooding. They really do a lot of good because it's nature and nature mm-hmm. figures out a way. Right. And beavers are there for a reason and they do some good. They spread out the wetlands. They help it. South Georgia Sean knows about this.
He does.
Yeah, he's in the chat right now. He knows about this.
He does.
He captures beavers.
Mm-hmm.
Beavers that can be destructive to human projects. Right. Like my dad's boat dock.
Right. I was going to say, like, we're the ones that have kind of encroached on their homes.
Yeah. Somebody said, and now for the beaver segment. Right. Exactly. There's no easy transition into the beaver segment. I just got to talk about it. But beavers are important. So we're asking you to take a moment and think about the beaver. We're not paid by any beavers to make this statement, by the way.
No, but I do have to say, I went up to the mountains last fall. And at night, the beavers were out there doing their thing, splashing around, making their little homes and stuff. And yeah. I really enjoyed it.
Chrissy loves the beavers.
I do.
Listen,
I love a beaver.
I don't have anything against beavers. My dad does because
yes.
he's constantly destroying the boat dock he's trying to build. They're rapscallions. They're rapscallions. They are. They like to get in there and do their thing. They're like, you know, building stuff under the boat dock and then they chew away at the foam and the mm-hmm. boat dock's always falling. But listen, the beavers were there first, Dad. That's all
right.
I got to say.
That's
it was
right.
You were the one who decided to buy the house in the boat dock that was, you know, being eaten by the beavers. Beavers are important. I'm going to put a link in the show notes if you want to go read more about beavers. Don't kill them for their pelts. Don't buy beaver. I don't think anybody does this anymore.
I don't think
they make them. No, I'm sure people make them, right? Like, you know, there's a market out there somewhere for it. But the beavers are important. They're almost hunted to extinction. A lot of people see them as nuisances and pests, so they get rid of them or relocate them, which is what South Georgia Sean does sometimes. And I understand sometimes there's an actual need for that, right? That, you know, you're building a major highway construction project or something like mm-hmm. that. That's going to help humans be more efficient. Sometimes you have to deal with wildlife. But, you know, if you should run into
save
a beaver,
be
nice to the beaver.
Yes, save the beavers.
I guess. Invite them to parties. Check in on your friend, your local beaver. Make sure they're okay. And, you know, think about the beavers.
Yes.
So that was the most awkward segment I've ever done on a commercial break for no reason whatsoever.
Have you ever seen a beaver out in your pool?
No. No beavers out in the
pool.
Okay,
that's good.
No. Moles, squirrels, rats. Well, I actually don't see many rats because I think there's a snake under
well,
the
that's
house
right.
that's eating the rats. There's chipmunks everywhere. It is a chipmunk paradise
the chipmunks.
Back there.
Oh, my gosh. They dig the holes, right?
They dig the holes.
Our yard is like all holes.
Yeah, mine too.
Right
it's all holes. It's holes from the back of the house to the front of the house. They're under the house. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
They're everywhere. They're on my front porch. And you know what?
They are cute.
They're cute. So I just leave them alone. I'm like, what are they doing?
I know. What am I
fucking
supposed
cares?
To do?
There's a hole here and a hole there. Whatever. I'm not going to stop them. There's hundreds of them. There must be. And in the pool patio, which is cement, in the cracks, there's one. There's
said
a hole.
The one will just pop up.
He's a guard. He's the guard. He's there all day.
Yeah.
I mean, unless we're out there, he's there. He's pop. He just like he's doing
he's,
his thing.
He's the guard.
Yeah, he makes
he's
noise.
He's the lookout.
He's the lookout. He is. And there used to be one that would sit on our potter right out front of the house, like right in front of the front door. There was like a flower pot, like a cement flower, mm-hmm. Decorative
Same
flower
way.
Pot. And there used to be one that sat right there. So my assumption is this is a family of chipmunks, and this is a mom or dad that is protecting the chipmunks.
Their children.
Probably from the snake and the family of hawks that live back there, too.
Yeah, we've got hawks.
Yeah, I've seen a hawk take a baby chipmunk and a baby squirrel away, and it did not make me so
happy. We saw that this hawk, Jeff and I were coming out to the car in our driveway, and this hawk all of a sudden swooped down and got another bird, like right in front of us.
Yeah.
We were like,
they're crazy.
What just happened?
They're
what?
Crazy fast.
Yeah.
They're so
fast.
Yeah, they're predators that are so, they're flying a mile up in the air, and then and all then of a sudden they're on the ground swooping things. Yeah. It's insane. I actually think that's what happened when that baby squirrel almost died in my back and on my back porch that one time. I think it got dropped from a distance.
Have you ever checked in on that little squirrel?
Yeah, I did actually.
You did?
Yeah, the squirrel was fine. Yeah.
Aww,
the squirrel lived.
Saved it.
The squirrel lived. The squirrel lived. She rehomed it about 4 weeks after I dropped it off.
I love that
She
story.
Nursed it back to health with a four or five other baby squirrels that were like kind of similar age, and then she rehomed all of them at the same place.
Aww.
And she said it was likely that they would like
thrive.
They would stay together. Yeah, they would stay together because squirrels, they're not necessarily pack animals, but they do live in families.
Little
you know,
nests.
Generally live in families. Yeah, little nests, little squirrel nests in my fucking attic.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
in my attic.
I can hear them running across the room.
I know, all day, all night. But, you know, it's part of living in Georgia, right?
It is, yeah.
You don't hear that in New York.
No,
that's
I guess
for
you probably didn't hear it in Soho.
You don't get...
Do you even see squirrels?
No. You see a lot of dogs.
I guess they would be in Central Park, but...
Yeah, I haven't got...
Oh, I'm sure there's dogs.
I at least not in the last couple of years, I haven't made it up to Central Park. I was like, one morning, I got up early. Like, it's just, I have kids, so, you know, sometimes I get up early and I just pop up and I was like, you know what? Let me put my shoes on and I'll go
walk or run
up to Central Park. And then I Googled it. It was like an hour and 17 minutes. And I was like, okay, well.
That's a good idea.
I guess I can go to the Starbucks next door. We'll do that. How about we go to the Starbucks next door? Best thing about New York, hot dog anytime, day or night.
Oh, you can just cut the hot dogs and pizza. Good pizza.
Great pizza. Mm-hmm. And, but someone here in Atlanta recommended to me a burger shop. They said, if you ever get to this burger shop, 7th Street Burgers.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, goddamn, New York's big. Like, I'm not going to be anywhere near 7th Street Burgers, whatever that is. And you know what?
You
I Google it, and I'm 1 minute away.
Oh.
It is literally around the corner from where I'm standing
when I
get this recommendation. So I'm like, oh. Okay, the Kismet. I guess I'll
go.
And I go in there. It's tiny. It's like you can fit three people in there.
Mm-hmm.
Smells lovely. And I say, okay, give me the whatever, you know, the burger that you guys do. Smash burger in fucking incredible.
Smash burgers.
Incredible.
God, I love those things.
Oh, man, was it good. 7th Street Burger. If you're ever in Soho, you get a chance to do that. But first, save the beavers. Then do the smash burgers in Soho. Hey, listen, we're trying. We're trying to help people, okay? All right?
Yes.
Or are we trying to get free lunch? I'm not sure what we're doing, but no. No beavers paid us to say any of this, by the way, just to let you know that is not.
Just a little PSA.
Yeah, just
in
a
honor
little
of
PSA.
Earth Day.
In honor of Earth Day. Because, you know, it's like way up there on the agenda right now of things that Donald Trump is taking care of.
Oh, yeah.
Do they even celebrate Earth Day anymore?
I don't think he does.
I don't think any of them do, really.
No.
I will say this, like just bouncing back 1 second to like the rotating cast of numbnuts that are up there. Pam Bondi's out.
Mm-hmm.
Now the labor secretary's out. Who was the other one that left?
Well, Kosh is about to be.
Yeah, that's right. Kosh Patel.
Did you see that story?
My God.
He was like being all paranoid that he had already been fired, so then he just wasn't picking up his phone.
Yeah, he wasn't picking up his
and
phone.
And they were like, where is he?
Yeah. Well, they had to ask to break. They had to ask for equipment to break down his hotel door room because he wasn't waking up because he was fucking obliterated.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like a super well-sourced story. I know Cash is now, you know, in the courtroom, you know, suing somebody for $250 million, but like all these lawsuits, it will go away also. It's just a scare tactic. Because it's true.
Yeah.
Kosh Patel, think about this. I want you to think about this just for a second. And listen, I would say this about any Democrat or Libertarian
Absolutely.
Or whatever, too. And there were a lot of numbnuts that worked for Biden, too. But listen, think about this. The FBI director, who is in charge of keeping the homeland safe from threats, foreign and domestic, okay, takes a plane to Italy, a private plane to Italy, to watch a hockey game that he could watch on TV.
Hey, he had other business.
He had other business. That's what he says. He was meeting with officials in Italy. About what? You protect the homeland, not Italy. Okay, but let's assume for a minute there is a business trip. Fine. Goes to the game. Not my favorite thing in the world to have our FBI director there showing out at the Olympics, but okay, whatever. I can accept that. What happens next is fucking insane.
He is literally pounding beers.
In the locker room.
In the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now let's just take for a moment that some terrible tragedy happens here in the United States of America, and our FBI director is sloshed with the USA hockey team 6,000 miles away.
I know.
Right? Not able to be gotten a hold of, and certainly his judgment is impaired.
Yeah.
This is not a good thing. And that is why generally the FBI people, they're not supposed to be drinking on the job. This isn't the fucking CIA where you run from bar to bar, you know, finding dirt on people. Yeah, exactly. Mexican drug lords snorting cocaine with Mexican drug lords. This is the FBI, and you are the director. And I will tell you right now, I promise you, he's going to be gone. So all these people are turning right now. One decision that I saw the other day that I can support is they put somebody in charge of the CDC that is an actual medical professional.
Yes, I saw that too.
A woman of color. A woman of color who has the bona fides to be running the CDC. God bless America.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe there's somebody smart somewhere that says, we can't let RFK Jr.
Well, who I was reading something about him that he was like, in a hot tub with Kid Rock in some video?
Yeah. Yeah. He's in a cold, he's cold plunging with Kid Rock.
Right.
It's exactly where he needs to be. By the way, did you see the military helicopters flying by Kid Rock's house?
Yes.
This is upside down candy land we live in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can you imagine that I get the choppers swing by the commercial break house? For what? To salute Kid Rock?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, okay.
It's bizarro.
All right. Yeah, it's a bizarro. And by the way, I have a feeling that this is not going to go away because some Democrat comes into office.
Oh,
all
no.
of this stuff, it's all, the ground has been broken now.
Yep.
And all of this stuff will continue until the guardrails are tightened. And maybe that's what this democracy needs, is a little guardrails.
You think?
Yeah. Don't worry. Jared Kushner's figuring all that Iran stuff out right now.
He's on
and
it.
Making $1 billion while he's doing it. Maybe we should be in the government. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing here? We should be like the ambassador to some small country that we can have Donald invade and make $1 billion with selling the real estate.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be back.
Okay, you're probably wondering why I, Rachel, have taken over the voice duties at TCB. It's pretty simple. Astrid asked me to shut Brian up, even for a minute. Well, lovely Astrid, your wish is my command. Do you want to help Astrid too? You know you do. Leave a message for her, or me, or Chrissy at 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. You can be on the show too. Mm-hmm. Just call and say something. Anything. Or text us and we'll text you right back. Promise. Then head over to tcbpodcast.com and get your free sticker. It's your constitutional right to a sticker, and we must abide. You get the point. Follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break and watch all the episodes on video at youtube.com/The Commercial Break. Best to you and Astrid, especially Astrid.
Okay, there we go. There it is.
I was just reading some of the comments that Sean had said. Is it Sean that said that? I don't know. About the office ladies when they hear that he's hunting beavers.
What does it say?
Here are some of the jokes from women in the office settings when they find out I hunt beavers to remove.
Well, listen, yeah, I think in some cases it's got to be done. Like, I mean, it didn't have to be done in my dad's case, but these things were really causing a lot of damage. So he got beaver people to come and do the beaver thing. They didn't kill him, though.
They relocated them to
a different part of the lake as per the Department of Natural Resources or whatever. They said, hey, you can put them here. And so, you know, hopefully they're... But then they returned like a year later. They found their way back.
They were like, fuck you.
Yeah, it's wild.
We're supposed to be.
Yeah, it's like, hey, we were here first.
I know.
Okay, you know, it is what it is. It is
what it is.
What it is.
Like the price of tea in China.
It is the price of tea in China or a bowl in a China shop or whatever. Why is China getting the shit into the... The price of tea in China is my favorite one. What does it have to do with the price of tea in China?
Nothing.
I was watching a recap of Coachella weekend two.
Came out, and Justin Bieber and all the boys are back in town. The boys are back in town.
I saw Madonna showed up with Sabrina Carpenter, I think.
Oh, I didn't see that. Mm-hmm. Oh, that was not part of the recap. That's weird. But Justin was doing his thing, and then who got up there on stage? Billie Eilish got on stage.
Oh,
with
I forget.
Him.
Okay, so they played twice.
They played twice.
Yes,
same lineup, two weekends in a row. And it made me think about the beginnings of Coachella and something that I forgot, which is the first 3 or 4 years of Coachella. The Coachella Festival mm-hmm. was a kick in the face to the Live Nation huge festivals that were charging insane amounts of money to show up. So Coachella's whole thing was $50 tickets, come see all these great bands for the weekend. And do you know who played the first Coachella?
God, was it? Was it like the Stones or was it
Pearl Jam?
Oh, Pearl Jam.
It was Pearl Jam, and I think the Strokes were there, and other people.
Of course, then Pearl Jam was on board.
Yeah, they were on board. They were like, "Yeah, fuck all these ticket prices." Mm-hmm. But it just turned into something much different. So I was watching kind of this recap from this guy who has clearly had a very cynical take on this whole thing, right? Which I kind of do also. Listen, it's not that I'm against Coachella. If you can get tickets to go, great. But it just seems like a place where now all influencers go.
CNBC.
Yeah, CNBC. And the music, sure, I'm sure there's some great music happens there. Of course, they're paying these people an immense amount of money, and you're paying $700 to get into the $700 just for a base rate ticket. Mm. That's just beyond bananas to me. But then they were showing some of the food and how much it costs. $27 for a fucking grilled cheese. $27 for a grilled cheese. They have a caviar burger that's $180, and they sell like 1,000 of them over the course of the weekend. That doesn't even sound like it tastes good. It just sounds like something you get to show show people on your Instagram, right? They have all, you know, $50 Red Bull, you know, you get 3 cans of Red Bull and 2 shots of vodka or something. It's like, it's just this insanely
commercialized,
like hedonistic, commercialized version of what Coachella always had in mind,
the
at least
origins.
What the origins were, which is fuck all these expensive festivals, come see some great music for a reasonable price. And that kind of made me sad a little bit. And I had forgotten it many years later, 20 years later, whatever it is, I had forgotten that this all started as a very noble
idea
mm-hmm. right? But I forgot who said this. It was back in the 60s. All good ideas or movements in the United States of America turn into grifts, cults, or otherwise bastardized versions of themselves. And it's true. That's what happens. It happened with Falwell and his Liberty University. It happened with Coachella. I don't know. Is Bonnaroo still doing a thing? Can we call Bonnaroo a festival that... Are we on the good side of Bonnaroo?
I think Live Nation did Bonnaroo now.
Yeah, they bought Bonnaroo. But isn't Bonnaroo tried to keep some semblance of coolness about it?
Yeah, I mean, when was the last time I went? Well, you and I went that 1 year.
God, we went that 1 year. Jesus Christ, that was a fucking...
And then I went another year.
Yeah, you went
Jeff
like 2 years later. Yeah,
up there. So yeah,
I did not get the invite to come back to go to the second time.
Well, you left. You left and took my car in the middle of the Radiohead performance.
It's not like I didn't ask to take your car. You told me to take your car.
I did, but you had to go see your girlfriend.
I did. I had a moment.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I was
at 4 a.m. It's 700 miles away.
You really have to go? Okay, take the car.
I think I was slipped something that night because I was whacked out, man. I really was. I remember being in the back of that fence and Radiohead playing, and I was just spinning out of control.
And that was the first night that we got there.
Yeah. Yeah, to be fair, I didn't really have a place to stay either. So I think I was going to be sleeping in your car anyway. You guys had a hotel room, but you had just started dating.
That's
and I'm like, yeah, I'm probably not going to be sleeping on the floor in this hotel room. It was like a day's in.
It was, because that's the only thing that's near there.
Yeah, that's true. Not anymore, but back then, yeah certainly. Now there's a whole infrastructure around it. But, you know, I guess Bonnaroo takes its stab. Shaky Knees, you know, I think Tim's trying to do something cool with Shaky Knees.
Obviously, Mimfo and Riverbeat are still on the good side of things.
Well, listen, they're independent festivals that are largely driven by the wants and desires of musician or musician-friendly, musician-adjacent people that make the decision based on what they think would be a cool lineup rather than...
And for the city.
Yeah, and for the city, other than, you know, what they think about the money-making, commercialized version of this. Having Justin Bieber there is just so they can get all those influencers in there to take pictures of Justin Bieber. I saw a photograph of Justin at Coachella, and someone was maybe, let's call it 200 people back, right? And he took a picture, and every single hand in the in front of him, thousands of people, had a phone like this.
Oh, I'm sure.
You couldn't even watch the fucking performance.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's kind of a symptom. That's what happens at most concerts these days. But
they make you put your phone in that bag. You know,
I wish they would all do it. Yeah. Honestly, I mean, I like to take a picture or two too, but I'm not videotaping everything.
You're not going back and watching that.
Never.
I mean, I've got so many pictures of concerts on my phone where I'm like, why did I even? In the moment, I was like, woo.
Yeah,
let me remember this.
Yeah, and then you take it back, and it's like this grainy video of you going like this, with Eddie Vedder turning upside down and sideways. Right. Yeah,
right. I probably have some from that night.
Let's be real about it. It's 2026. If you went to a concert in the last 2 years, it's on videotape better than you did it somewhere.
Correct.
The entire thing with annotations and lyrics.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? This is not like we're not living in some information vacuum. The novelty of these phones in our hands should have worn off a long time ago, but we just seem to get dumber and dumber about them. Now you got people wearing glasses around. I mean, listen, I had a friend who had these glasses, the Meta glasses.
The Meta glasses. I know somebody that has them too.
And at first I thought to myself, what a bad idea. And I think it is generally... I think it can be fun and useful, but I also think it's a bad idea because it's got facial recognition software. It's not available publicly yet, but facial recognition software. And there was a guy that worked for Meta or like some one of those tech magazines that was, Wired. He was walking around identifying people by name through their LinkedIn, through their Facebook.
Yeah, that's so creepy.
It's wild. He was walking up to them being like, hey, Jan? And and be like, yeah, do you work at, you know,
so weird.
John's coffee shop? Yeah, how do you know that? Well, I think you live on 2264. And she was like, what? And he's like, well, I have these glasses here. You know, how do you feel about it? And these people were fucking freaked out because of course they were.
I think there's a Black Mirror episode that's kind of like that.
There is, where they're videotaping everything, and I remember that. Black Mirror freaks me out sometimes.
It's a creepy show.
Yeah, it's not a show to watch before you go to bed, because then you just have nightmares. But I want you to hear me. I want you to hear me when I say this. We don't need to be dumber about these fucking cell phones in our goddamn hands. There can be a moment unbastardized by watching it through your goddamn hand with your cell phone out there. I can't tell you how many concerts and shows I've been to where I'm literally watching it through the phone screen of someone
else. In front
of
you?
Yes. And it is obnoxious. I want to watch it through the big screen that sits on top of the stage.
Yes.
Like it's meant to be.
All right.
When I pay $600 to go see Taylor Swift.
Right.
It's just one of those things. Listen, you know, Coachella, I'm sure that if someone gave me a ticket, I would go. Because just to experience it once in my life. But Coachella is just one of those festivals.
And to stay in the guest house.
Yeah, and to stay in the guest house.
Mm-hmm.
The guest house.
Yes.
Astrid would never let me stay in the guest house. I'm telling you that right now. She'd be like, I don't think so. Thank you anyway. And listen, to be fair, I think I should, you know, there's nothing but trouble can come of that. Like, you know, even if I'm on my very best behavior, which I always am with Astrid, I'm on my very best behavior, trouble has a way of finding you.
It does.
You know?
It just does.
Naked pool party at 3 a.m.
Right.
Well, honey, what was he supposed to do? Let these girls drown?
No.
They're clearly intoxicated. Yeah. Someone had to be a lifeguard.
Exactly.
I pulled 3 of them out of the water by their tits.
You were saving the beavers.
I was saving the beavers. I saw a beaver and I had to save it. Yeah, I agree. The people are saying, they agree with us in the chat that, you know, put the phone down, be present.
Yes.
I agree. You know, when I went to Chris Rock 2 years ago.
Yeah.
after the Will Smith slap, like a month after the Will Smith slap. First show after the slap here in Atlanta. And he was working on new material. And so we went to the Fox Theater, probably 1,500, 2,000 people fit in there. Astrid and I had pretty good seats. And we walked in there and they had one of those, whatever they call them, the bag, right? The bag that locks and you have to take it to the entrance and swipe it to unlock it. And, you know, they said, if you think there's going to be an emergency, you can, or you feel, you can put your phone on vibrate. And if it vibrates and someone's calling you and it might be an emergency, you can come back and someone will unlock it for you. But otherwise it stays locked in that bag. And it was weird because we got there like 30 minutes earlier, right? And 30 minutes early and everyone's just sitting there. But then we're turning and you talk to the person next to you.
Yes.
And then you're listening to the vibe in the crowd. And
actual,
then you're listening to the music.
Human to human contact.
Action.
Yeah.
That's right. And it was quite amazing. And then Chris came out and he did his 2 hours and he was absolutely killed it. And he was so fucking funny. And it was there was no drama around me watching it through someone taking pictures. Mm-hmm. Most comedians have a no photograph, no video kind of policy, because if someone videotapes their set, they're going to do the exact same set next time they go to the next city.
That's true.
And they don't want it on YouTube because then it takes the bite out of the ticket sales, right? But Chris takes it a step further and says, like when we went and saw, what's his name from Impractical Jokers?
Ari?
Sal Volcano.
Oh, Sal.
They had a no phone, no video kind of policy. And there was a girl in front of me, and she was taking pictures of one of the intro comics, one of the opening comics. And the security guard came over and took his flashlight and pointed, and she put it down. And, you know, okay, great. But that made it enjoyable for the rest of us, knowing that I didn't have to watch it through her screen.
Yeah.
And I can understand you want to take a picture and, you know, say you were there or whatever, but then get backstage passes like I had.
That's right.
And give a hug to the notoriously germaphobe Sal Volcano.
That's right.
Hey, he went in for the hug.
He did.
I went to give him knuckles because I remembered what he said to me. You know, I hate, you know, I do shake people's hands, but it drives me crazy. And, you know, I'd give knuckles now because I'm kind of germaphobic about the whole thing. And then he went in for the hug. And I said, you know what? If Sal Volcano is going to give me a hug,
then
I'm
going
to give Sal Volcano a hug right back.
He was the nicest guy. Still talking to him.
Yeah, of course. We're best friends. Talk to him all the time. I say, hey, Sal, what's going on? Where are you at? How are you feeling about the Iran situation? He hasn't responded.
No.
In months. But I'm sure he's thinking about me.
You should keep trying.
Yeah, I'll keep trying.
He gave you the hug.
Yeah. Last time I sent him a text message, it said, this phone number no longer exists. Sorry, user cannot be reached.
Yeah.
Error. He probably went, report as spam and block. Bing.
Which does not seem to be working on my phone, just FYI.
No, mine doesn't either.
God, it's a million calls.
A day.
Jeez.
How much money do you need?
I know.
Do you have insurance?
You're approved.
Yes. Yeah, your UPS package is on the way. It's like, it never fucking stops. I've been approved for $1 million worth of financing.
At least.
Just by the way. I've been approved. I can get $2 million into your account today.
They just need one more piece of information.
Yeah, they just need one more piece of information, which is any information. Because
yes.
They call me Jason half the time. And I'm like,
I know. I get texts for Jennifer.
Yeah, I'm Jason. I don't know who
Jason
is. Well,
between that and all the people texting me about the political, too, I'm just like, wow.
Yeah, that's why I can't get involved this early in the cycle, because I can't, like, put my name in any of those things.
No.
I'm going to volunteer at some point for somebody, but I don't want to volunteer now, because I know volunteering now just means I'm going to get a lot of text messages about volunteering $5 into their account, and I just don't want to do it. During that election cycle with Kamala, holy shit.
Yeah, I was on fire.
I was getting 60 of them a minute at one point. It's like, we just need $10 more before midnight, or the whole world's gonna explode. Donald Trump's gonna press the nuclear button if you don't send me $5 tonight. And it's like, okay, what? You know, our fundraising deadline ends at midnight. If we don't get this money, we won't be able to compete. It's like, guys, what deadline? I googled it. There's no deadline.
No, there's no deadline.
Just, yeah, okay, do what Trump does. It's, you know, sell something,
right? Anything.
Donald Trump yogurt, now available. It's the best yogurt. We have the best yogurt.
Oh, I've heard that, like, at the White House, apparently, I was reading the story that there's, like, a whole gift shop of all of his stuff in there.
Yeah, they have a gift shop. Well, they've always had a gift shop in the White House, to be
fair. But this is his Yeah. His gift shop.
His gift shop. Yeah. Now he's spruced up that gift shop and it's all about Donald Trump. It's everywhere Trump. Listen, you know, I've said this before, and I know that sometimes we like bounce into this, right? I would and will say this about any politician. I do not like Trump. Why don't I like Trump? Because he's an egomaniac and he has literally lost his mind. And I think we are all in a lot of danger because he's running around half cocked and saying this thing and doing that thing. And, you know, it's not that I generally hate all Republicans or conservatives. No. I don't. As a matter of fact, I voted for them. And I voted for lots of Democrats and I voted for independents. Mm-hmm. Of course, that's a waste of my vote, but you know, I voted for them anyway. And what's going on right now is just insane. Think about 4 years ago when Joe Biden was in office, okay? Forget the fact that he was probably asleep and in a wheelchair somewhere.
Auto-penning
it all day long. There wasn't this kind of drama going on, right? There was some semblance that somebody, some series of people were running the country to some degree. Right now, there's a bunch of drunks and cuckolders pretending it's like they stayed at a Holiday Inn last night. I'm not the FBI director, but I stayed at a Holiday Inn last night. And then they had to break the door down because I was too drunk at the Holiday Inn last night. It's wild.
I don't know.
And Trump has just taken every advantage of this presidency to enrich himself and the people around him. And I just have this idealized version that public service in this way should not be a place to enrich yourself. I know it happens. I'm not dumb. I don't think this is the fucking West Wing we're living in. But I just wish that we had, like, it was a little less obvious. Let's put it that way. A little less fucking obvious. He sold those Trump cards for $1 billion a piece or whatever. And they have things, something on Kalshi. How many Trump cards will be sold? Right? And it's like zero or more than 10 or more than 100. 90% of the betting market is on he'll sell zero. He'll sell zero of those cards.
Yeah, it's all...
The Trump gold card. It gets you automatic entrance into the
United States.
Oh, that's
right. It's the Visa thing.
Yeah, it's like $10 million or something like that. That's insane. And where does that $10 million go?
Mm-hmm.
To a slush fund. Guaranteed. All right. Well, you know, all this has been another fun episode of the commercial break talking about beavers. This will go down as the weirdest segment in commercial break history.
And that's saying something.
Because we once talked about testicle taste buds.
Tasty teas.
The tasty teas.
Hello, sir.
Somebody asked me, put together like 6 or 7 episodes of the commercial break that really like...
Showcase what we are about.
Yeah, and I thought... Should I do the one where Irving got dropped out of his casket in the grave? Or should I do Tasty Testicles? Which one? And then I waited too long to send them something and they started investigating on their own.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and somebody was like, so tell me how you really feel about Burning Man. And then they said, I've been to Burning Man every year for the last 15 years. What did he say to me? He goes, well, if you think putting a ceiling fan in your tent was a luxury, you should see how I go.
Oh, God, I'm sure.
Yeah, well.
Get all tricked out.
Yeah, listen, we have friends who have been going to Burning Man for a long time.
Nothing wrong with it. And that's what you want to do.
Yeah, that's what you want to do.
Yeah.
And I saw them over the weekend, our Burning Man friends.
Oh, good.
I saw our Burning Man friends. I went to my dear friend Raphael's beautiful daughter, Cecilia, is getting married. Congratulations,
yes,
Cecilia.
Yes, yes.
And we went to a big party to celebrate the wedding. Not the actual wedding.
I remember going to her quinceanera.
Yeah. I remember going to her quinceanera, too. It feels like yesterday.
Yeah.
That's right when I met Astrid.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now she's not a little kid anymore.
No.
She's all grown up. She's got a wonderful fiance, Ryan. They're getting married. We had a great time at the party. Maybe we'll talk more about that tomorrow.
Let's do that.
Okay. You can go to ccbpodcast.com, get your free sticker, watch all the audio, watch all the video. Go to youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. Make sure you follow us and hit the notifications on our channel so that you get notified when we go live. Thanks everybody in the streaming, in the comments, in the sections.
Yes, thanks for joining.
If you've texted the phone number, I promise to get back to you. It's been like 3 weeks, but You got to understand. Oh, you don't understand, but it's been a little crazy for us here over the last 3 weeks. Everything's fine. It's just been crazy busy. At the commercial break on Instagram, you can DM us there and follow us personally. Brian W. Green and TCB Chrissy. Okay, that's all I can do for now, Chrissy.
I think so.
I'll tell you that I love you.
I love you.
I'll say best to you.
Best to you.
Best to you out there on the podcast and the streaming audience. Thank you. We love you. Until next time, we will say, we do say, we must say.
Goodbye.